Watch birds. What is your favorite bird?
Cardinal.
How many of you feed birds? You're a bird feeder? We have two. We feed hummingbirds, and we feed little finches. Sometimes the cardinals will come, smaller birds. But it's really interesting to watch the birds. How many of you have gone on your phone and looked at the ETSU Eagle Cam? Have you done that? You can go online and look at the ETSU Eagle camera. There is a camera focused on an eagle's nest, two places in the county, and you can see live pictures of the eagles. And if you do that at the right time of the year, you will see the parents feeding the children, the little eagles. It's really interesting. I love to watch birds. Jesus liked birds, and God likes birds. God made birds, and he loves them. And there are some important lessons about God that we can learn from common things like birds. Jesus enjoyed taking common things of life and giving them deep spiritual meaning. For instance, he spoke about the lilies of the field and how those lilies don't worry because God takes care of them. So we don't need to worry, Jesus says. Jesus referred to the grapevine, and he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will be strong and you will have life. Just a common grapevine can teach us that we need to live our lives connected with the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said one time, you are salt. Anybody like salt? We all like salt. We shouldn't eat too much of it, but we like salt. Jesus said, you are salt, and it's important for you to be salt in this world. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, add flavor to the world. Do what you can to influence the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Another time he said, you are light. Just common light. Maybe he was looking at the sun. And he said, you are light. And you don't want to put that light under a bushel, but you want that light to shine. He is saying, therefore, let your faith show, so that others walking in darkness of sin can find the light of Jesus Christ, and they will find their way to salvation through their faith in him. Common things of life can teach us a lot about God. And so I would like for us today to focus on birds. Since they're very common and we all like to watch them, what can the birds teach us? I want us to look at several birds that are mentioned in the Bible and how God used them to communicate truth to us that we all need to know. So, let's look together at the birds of the Bible. The first one is the rooster. Did you know that there's a rooster in the Bible? Turn with me, if you want to Mark chapter 14. In Mark 14, Jesus is facing his crucifixion. He has been arrested. He is being interrogated by the Jewish and Roman authorities. And Simon Peter, who had earlier professed his faith in Christ and assured Jesus that he would never deny him, suddenly found himself in a very frightening, pressure-filled situation, and he denied his Lord. Let's look at that together. Mark 14, verses 30 and 31. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same thing. Now in that same chapter, Mark 14, turn with me to verse 66. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around him, this fellow is one of them. Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. Simon Peter realized that the rooster had convicted him of denial of his Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had predicted it, and it came true. And Simon Peter, when he realized he had disowned his Lord, he had denied his relationship with Jesus Christ, it broke his heart. He failed his Lord at the most important time in his Lord's life. So when you see a rooster, let it remind you of the importance of us keeping our faith, being willing to share that we are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not disown your Lord. Don't deny him. Praise him. Love him. And witness to others about him. The pigeon, another bird of the Bible. Pigeons were very inexpensive, common birds. The poor would often buy them to use as sacrifices in the temple worship. As you probably remember, Jewish worship at the temple before the time of Christ included animal sacrifices. And birds were sacrificed by the poor because that's all they could afford. And pigeons were usually the bird that they brought to the temple for sacrifice. If you want to look at that scripture for a moment, in Leviticus, in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 14 says this, if the offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, you are to offer a young pigeon. So the pigeon speaks to us of sacrifice. The pigeons were sacrificed. They gave their all as these people worshiped the Lord in the temple. The pigeon reminds us all that as we live our faith, there is sacrifice involved. We must at times pay the cost for what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So when you see a pigeon, and they're often around where you are, when you see a pigeon, let it remind you that you must be ready to sacrifice your time, your talent, your energy for the Lord God. Sacrifice is part of following Jesus Christ. The raven. The raven was the first bird that was sent out of the ark by Noah. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 8, you will see a reference to the raven. In Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark, and he sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. So the raven was used of God to help the people of the ark know that they were not alone, that the raven was going out to investigate. The raven kind of represents a future for the people, that the flood would not last forever, So the raven becomes, though a common bird, becomes a welcome demonstration of hope that we find in the Lord God. There's another time in Scripture where you see a raven. Turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 17. Elijah, the prophet of God, is at the end of his energy. He is discouraged. He is out of strength. And he simply stops at a valley and at a brook, and he wonders, is he all alone? Does God really care? And God shows through a raven that he does care, that God knows when we have a need in our lives. Look at 1 Kings 17, verses 4 through 6. God says this to Elijah, you will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan River, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And through that supply of food and drink, Elijah the prophet regained strength so that he could go forward and serve the Lord as God had called him to do. Isn't it interesting? We enjoy feeding birds. A while ago, I think you mentioned you like to feed birds. Most of the time, we think about feeding birds. Here, the birds fed the people. A raven fed Elijah and gave him strength. What a wonderful God we serve. So when you see a raven, remember those two passages of Scripture. The raven of the ark that flew out to investigate what creation looked like at that time. And the ravens that fed the prophet Elijah. So when you see a raven, remember, let it be a symbol to you that God cares about you. He will not allow the floods of struggle to overcome you. He will sustain you. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows what the needs of your life are. And he will respond and provide what you need. Quail. You ever see a quail very often? Not often around here, but there are some quail. But the quail is mentioned in the Bible. And some of you probably remember how God used the quail. You remember? In the wilderness wandering of the people. Let's look at Exodus 16, verses 11 through 13. The people of Israel had been freed from Egyptian slavery. They were moving toward the promised land, though it was a wandering route through the wilderness. And as they wandered through the wilderness for those many years, they began to grumble against the Lord. And they wondered, what are we going to eat? Is God going to take care of us out here? He freed us from slavery, but does he care we're struggling? And the answer is, yes, God cares. When you are struggling, God really cares. And he will meet your needs. Exodus 16, verses 11 through 13. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. Quail, a reminder to us that God sustains his people in the wilderness. And you know, sometimes when you're living your life, sometimes life can seem like a wilderness to you, can't it? It may be that you're struggling with your job, or maybe you're struggling with money, or maybe you're struggling in some relationships. And it just seems like there's no end to it. You're just wandering in a wilderness. And you sometimes wonder, does God really hear you and know you and care for you? And the answer that the quail tell us is that God does really care. He is with you. He knows what you're struggling with. And he is going to be with you to help you through the wilderness that you face. the sparrow. I'm grateful to the hymn that that Ming picked out for us today. His eye is on the sparrow. Didn't you enjoy singing that? The sparrow, a very common bird. Turn with me to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 4. And notice how the sparrows can teach us something about God and our responsibility with our family. Psalm 84, verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. This reference to the sparrow reminds us that in the huge Jerusalem temple, there were outer courts. Birds could fly in and out. And the nesting places of the sparrow were often at the tops of the columns of the temple. And so the scripture talks about how the sparrow finds a home at the temple. There she has her young. And I think that is a reminder to you and to me. We need to bring our children to church. We need to make sure our family's in church. If the sparrow goes to church, surely we can go to church, right? It's very important that the sparrow teach us the importance of bringing up our children in the faith, of nurturing them in the Spirit of God. There is another reference to sparrows, and this time in Luke 12. Luke 12, read it earlier, verses 6 and 7 of Luke chapter 12. Listen to what Jesus says about the sparrow. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus looked at the common sparrows, and he said, commercially, they're not very valuable. You with just a little bit of money, you can buy a lot of sparrows. But in God's sight, you have great value. Value that goes beyond any kind of commercial value. Therefore, when you see a common sparrow, and there's probably a sparrow in your yard quite often, whenever you see the sparrow, remember those two lessons. Be sure that you and your family are in church. And secondly, remember how much God loves you, how much he values you. You are worth more than many sparrows, Jesus says. The next bird, the eagle. You read earlier in Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Those beautiful verses by the prophet Isaiah. And he mentions the eagle. And you read that earlier. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You ever feel tired? You ever get tired? Sure, all of us do. You ever need more strength than you seem to have on a certain day? Sure, we all feel that. And the prophet Isaiah was speaking to his people at a very difficult time in their history. He knew they were struggling. They felt weak in the face of these empires around them that were threatening to conquer them and take them captive. And he was saying to them, God is with you, and he's going to provide you some strength that you cannot even define or imagine. He will enable you to soar on wings like eagles, and you will run and not grow weary, and you will walk and not be faint. What a promise to all of us that strength is available in the Lord God. And the dove. The dove inspires us. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 8. Back to the ark. This time, Noah, having already sent out a raven, sends out a dove. In Genesis 8, look at verse 6 and following. Actually, let's look at verse 8 Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and he took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. When Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth, he waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. The dove, therefore, is a reminder to us that floods come to an end, that God offers us hope in the midst of difficult crises, that you do not need to despair. When things seem dismal in your life, when nothing seems to be going well, you can turn to the Lord and realize that will not last forever. That dove brings an olive leaf to Noah to say there is hope, there is land, there is a future. God is saying that to you and to me. The dove. When you see a dove, remember there is hope in the things that you face. And the dove, once again, shows up in Matthew chapter 3. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, Jesus' baptism. Notice that in this very special moment in Jesus' life, as he was baptized, as he came up out of the water, notice what happened. Verse 16 of Matthew 3. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The dove, therefore, reminds us of how God is ready to speak into your life. His words of love, his words of pleasure in what you are doing for him. He is saying to you, "You are my beloved child," and don't you forget that. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, don't we? That we are God's child. That we've been called by him. We've been saved by him. He has a future for us. He has a purpose for our lives. Let God speak that into your heart. The study of birds is called ornithology. The knowledge or study of birds. But now that we have looked at the birds of the Bible, and we see that these birds teach us about God, and how we learn about God's purpose for our life and his love for us, then I think this word needs to be changed a little bit. Why don't we call it ornithology? Ornithology. Understanding of God as we study birds. That God is speaking to us, speaking into our lives as we see common birds like a sparrow or a raven or a dove or an eagle. It is theology in a common bird that helps us to understand how much God loves us. A rooster, remember, warns you about denying your Lord and calls you to be faithful to him. A pigeon tells you that sacrifice is a vital part of your faith. A raven tells you that God is with you when you feel overwhelmed and he is there to sustain you. A quail reminds you that God provides for you in your wilderness moments. A common sparrow tells you, bring your family to church and be in church with them. And the sparrow says God knows you and values you highly. An eagle reminds you that God offers you strength for your weariness and he will be with you to sustain you. And the dove tells us that God brings floods to an end and he concludes floods with a rainbow. And the dove reminds you at your baptism and throughout your life that God is speaking into your life. If you listen to the dove carefully, you will hear the Lord saying, "You are my child, and I love you deeply." Praise God that in the common things of life, we can experience God and hear him speak and know how much he loves you and me. Praise God. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for speaking to us through the common things of life. Help us, Lord, to live life faithfully with a God perspective, so that in the many common things of our lives, we can draw spiritual conclusions and understand that you love us, you are with us, you are there to sustain us, and you have a purpose for our lives that affects not only our life on earth, but our life with you forevermore. Thank you, O God. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.